Ezra chapter 3, we're going to look at, we're not going to read every verse of the chapter, but we're going to look at the whole chapter. So I'm going to skip twice as we're reading down through it, but we're going to start in verse 1. So Ezra 3 verse 1 says this, "And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to burn offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God." We're going to skip down to verse 6, but it talks a little more about the burnt offerings. It says, "For from the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid." Verse 7, "They gave money also unto the masons, and to the carpenters, and the meat, and drink, and oil, and unto them of Zidon, and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia." We're going to jump down one more time to verse 10. "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many were priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of the house was laid before their eyes. They wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that you would use me, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Help me to preach. Open up our ears and our hearts, Lord. And if there's any lost, I pray they'd come to know you. Any backsliders, I pray they'd rededicate themselves to you. And Lord, I ask that you challenge us and encourage us in your word. And in Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
So in Ezra, in chapter 1, Cyrus, king of Persia, he was stirred up in the spirit of the Lord. A Gentile king was stirred up by God, and he challenged the Jews to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple that had been torn, that had been destroyed for the last 50 years. And we find out in chapter 2 that a group of 42,360 decide they're going to go. And they have horses, camels, donkeys, free will offerings, gold, silver, all the vessels from the old temple that Nebuchadnezzar had stolen. And the amazing thing about this is that 150 years before it happened, Isaiah prophesied that there'd be a man named Cyrus who would do God's will and tell them to rebuild the temple and lay the foundation in Jerusalem. So, I'm sorry, 150 years prior is when the prophecy took place. That's how God is, isn't he? It's nothing for him. See, the historians are like, my goodness, he was able to even say the very king's name before he was even born. That's because it's God. He can do that. And I'm thankful for that. But listen to this, Isaiah 44 and 28. "Thus saith Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid." I don't know about you, but I believe the same God that was able to stir up the heart of a heathen king to challenge God's people to do the work of God and step out in faith, if God was able to do that 2,500 years ago, I believe the same God could do the same thing today. And wouldn't that be wonderful if he stirred up some of our leaders and presidents and nations and other nations to stir up God's people to do the work of God? I'd say praise God for that. That'd be a miracle, but that's what God can do. So never underestimate the power of our God. He is a big God. Sometimes we don't see him that big, but he's big. You know what we need to do? We need to pull back the magnifying glass, and we need to start seeing God for who he really is. He's a big God. He changed my heart. He changed your heart. He can change any heart. And I say praise God for that. So we get to the work. They have left home. They have decided to take up the challenge and step out in faith. And what amazes me about this chapter, a lot of times I focus near the end after the foundation is laid, but I want to look at verse 1 again. It says, when the seventh month was come and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. So the children of Israel, they've been scattered all about. They received this challenge from Cyrus to return. They had the supplies. They traveled to Jerusalem where the work needed to be done. But before they did any work whatsoever, do you notice what they did right here? Before they gathered the wood, before they got the stones, before they sharpened their tools, they got their steel-toed boots out, before they pulled out the blueprints from the law of Moses, it says they gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. And I, you know what they did? They united together before they started doing the work. And if you stop and think about it, if you've experienced, if you've tried to unite people or do things in one accord, you realize that being in unity, it doesn't come naturally, does it? It's not something that just happens. The only way is if people decide that they're going to come together for a common cause. But you know what? If we want to have unity, a lot of times that means compromising a little bit of ourselves. Amen? You have a marriage. You want to have a good marriage. You can't have two selfish people come together and expect that they're going to last very long at all, because there's compromises involved, right? You've got to, there's a little give and take involved. And that's a good thing, because a lot of times we get too selfish anyway. So to have unity, we've got to give in a little bit. But I will also say this. I do not want unity at the expense of the truth of God's Word. I know a lot of them, they'll bring in every faith together and put them all in one room and then say, look at this great coalition that we've built together. And yet when they start to pray, they can't pray to anybody, because you pray to anyone, it'll offend somebody else, right? So I'm not here for that. But what I am saying is we have got to unify under one banner, and that's the banner of Jesus Christ. And that as a church, we have to come together, but not only this church, every church that preaches and teaches the truth of Jesus Christ, we've got to come together in unity. If we are going to make a difference in this world, we have got to do it together. I'm so sick of hearing this church over here fighting against that church, or they won't get along, or they won't fellowship. That's a bunch of garbage. I'll tell you what, we're all going to the same heaven. If you're washed in the same blood of Jesus Christ, we've got to work together in unity before we can do anything else. You notice that?
Yeah.
They came together as one man. The task that they were going to be doing, rebuilding the temple, was an enormous task, and they had to be unified before they did anything at all if they wanted to be successful. And I'm here to tell you, there are a lot of lost people out of here. Yeah. Right? There are a lot of confused people out here. There are a lot of people that are believing the lies and the deception of the devil out in this world. We are way outnumbered.
Yeah.
It's a huge task. Amen?
Amen.
But we've got a big God.
Yeah.
We've got the Holy Spirit helping us. But we've got to be unified. We've got to come together. That means if you've got a problem with someone in the church, don't tell everyone else about it. You know who you tell first? Well, first you tell God about it.
That's right.
And maybe He'll help you out right there.
Yeah.
And then you go to that person about it in love. Yeah. That's what the Bible tells us to do. We don't like to do that. We like to get on the phone and say, would you believe what so-and-so did or said to me? And I'm guilty of it. You can't have unity. And a lot of times when you go to that person, you know what's needed more than anything else is for you to really apologize.
Yeah.
Because most times we're just as in the wrong as the person on the other side. Right? We expect this world to get along. We've got to get along first. Amen. We've got to have unity.
Amen.
Some of these hurt feelings have to be healed. And these grudges have to be getting rid of. You got to get rid of the chip on your shoulder. And we need to come together as one. And I'm here to tell you, once we are in unity, there is a lot of power there. We've already said it this morning. There's a lot of power there. There's a lot of strength there. And when we are unified, there is nothing the devil can do to stop us. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God for that. Let's go on. Verse 2. Verses 2 and 3, not only did they come together in unity, but verse 2 says, and builded the altar of God, of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses. So they came together in unity, and before they started laying the foundation, before they worked on the temple, before they did any of that, they built an altar to God. Not to some heathen idol, not to somebody else, but the true God of Israel. They built an altar, just how they needed to, exactly to the specifications, and they started offering things to God, as it is written in the law of Moses. You know what blesses me? They didn't invent their own new way of worship. They worshiped the way that God told them to worship. And that is one of the things we've got to do as well. I know there are a lot of new programs, a lot of new ideas, but everything has to be run by God's Word, and it's got to stick true to it. You can do all sorts of things, and you can have different styles, you can have different methods. Not everyone preaches like me. They preach different ways, and I love hearing different preachers, different styles, but the best thing I like is when I hear the Word of God soaked in every bit of it, and I hear somebody that is founded and rooted in it, and that's what blesses me. And I'm here to tell you, the only way we can worship is in spirit and in truth. That's it. That's what the Bible says. I'm getting ahead of myself. Jesus said, John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know what? I see people, have you ever been to a church where they worship in the spirit? Right? A lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot of emotion, but no truth. Have you ever been one of those? It's an entertaining thing, right? It's a moving thing. But where's the truth of the Word of God? Jesus said you got to have both. And then have you ever heard the other side? Have you ever been in a church where they're preaching the truth, but it is dry? Like a college class getting up there, right? Like a training you didn't want to take at work, right? That just keeps going on and on and on. That's truth. But there's got to be spirit there.
Yes.
You got to have both. You have to have both. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
I'm glad that they started doing things right, and they started with worship. And some people will ask, well, wait a second, Mike. They were in unity first, then they started worshiping. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't they have started worshiping and then made sure they got themselves in unity? Did they get the order wrong? Well, here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Do you realize something? This isn't the only part in Scripture that talks about this, but God doesn't want your sacrifice. He doesn't want your worship. He doesn't want your praise if you have an ought against the brother, right? Whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament. And here's the thing. God literally, I can't remember the passage, but there's one thing. It's like, I don't even want to smell the incense. I don't even want to hear what you have to say until you get it right. I think sometimes we have to remember that as well. Set down the gifts, set down the service, set down the offering, set down whatever it is, and get it right, and then bring it to God.
Yeah.
And then He'll accept it. And then, verse 10, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple, then, so they were unified first, they started worshiping first, right? Offering sacrifices. Then they got to work building, rebuilding the temple. You know what? I think we get things out of order and we skip steps a lot and we expect God to bless it. It's not going to happen. We've got to be on the same page, and that page is rooted and grounded in God's Word, right? And we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we have to, I love Ecclesiastes, we finished it up this morning in Sunday school. Fear God, right? And do His commandments. That's what He said. That's why we wrapped it up into those things, right? If we fear God, we will do His will. And we will follow His Word. And then we can build. And they started building the foundation of the temple first. And you know that and I remember talking to Aaron, and he explained to me as they were building the foundation of our house. He said, you know, this is the most important step. And in fact, if things get off at the foundation, as you go higher, it gets more and more and more off. It doesn't get better, it gets worse. He said, you know, we've had to do many times. If the foundation wasn't right, we dig it out and start all over again. Because we want to build on the right thing.
Yes.
The right foundation.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, there might even be people sitting in this sanctuary or listening later that have built on a wrong foundation.
Yeah.
You've got to start over.
Yes.
Yeah.
And build on the rock. And that's Jesus Christ. And build on His Word. And then when you build up from that, everything will be right in tune. But they're building, they build the foundation. They started on the solid foundation. Remember, Jesus Christ is called the chief cornerstone in the Bible. He's also called the rock. And if we're going to build our church, it has to be on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and His Word. We've got to take it. And if we're going to build our own lives on that same rock, that means we have to have a solid foundation. And that doesn't come but anywhere but by getting into His Word. You can be led astray with all kinds of wind and doctrine and everything else, but if you get into God's Word, you can notice what's counterfeit, notice what's false, and notice what's deception, and you can thus saith the Word of God, and you can stand on it. I don't know about you, but this world gets, there seems like a different crazy every day in this world. It is, there are all sorts of things happening, and we don't know the answer, but what I know is when I, you know, there are times when God just tells me, Mike, you gotta lay the phone down, you gotta quit reading these things and watching these things. All it's going to do is get you more worked up, more confused, more afraid. And He says, I want you to put that down, put the news down, put the phone down, pick up God's Word. You're alone in a quiet place, and you pray to Him, and you get in His Word, and it will give you a peace that passes all understanding. I think a lot of people have a lot of problems in this world because they won't, number one, they won't turn to Jesus. And a lot of Christians, unfortunately, have a lot of problems because they won't turn to His Word, and they won't live by it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what. This Word will guide you to a better life.
Amen.
And it's a blessing. So there they are. They have built the foundation. Right? They built it. And finally we get to the end of the chapter. Once the foundation was laid. Do you see what they're doing? They start praising the Lord, right? Verses 11, 12, and 13, they start praising God. And it had been 3 years since King Cyrus had originally challenged them to rebuild. They had left their homes where they were at. They stepped out in faith. They endured hardships and obstacles. They worked hard. You know they had setbacks along the way. And then finally, after all that faith, after all that work, after all that praying, finally they're starting to visibly see the first signs of the work actually starting to be done. They can actually see something, a real results from their labor. And I'm here to tell you that a lot of times we do something for God, and it may be a long time before we start to see the first little results. But don't you worry. God is looking at our heart and seeing if we are faithful. If we're faithful to Him, it doesn't matter if the results come or they don't. God is saying, you just do what I've called you to do. And I promise you, one day, that testifying, that praying for lost loved ones, that inviting people out, and all the different things that we do to serve God in many different ways, it is not in vain. God will use it. God will multiply it. God will bless it every time. Praise God for that. But the devil will try to convince you that you're doing it all in vain. Why? Because there's no results. He does that to me all the time. He tries to convince me it's not worth doing. And I have to remind him, I serve a big God, and He knows what He's doing. I don't understand it. It confuses me sometimes, but I'm just trying to walk by faith. And if we do that, we'll be all right. But notice this. If you look at verses 11, what is he saying? They're singing together and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good and his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. You know what I like about this? They weren't praising themselves. They weren't praising the work that they had done. You see that? They weren't praising the fact that they were good followers of God. They weren't praising the fact that they stepped out in faith. No, they were praising God. You see that? And when we come into worship, that's what we need to do too. Not look at me and look what I've done, but look at God and look what he's done. The only reason I have breath and the only reason I can stand up here and even attempt to do anything for God is because what he's done in my life. And I say praise the Lord for that. If there's any good thing, it's come down from the Lord, and it is his doing and it is his blessing. But they started worshiping the Lord and not praising themselves. And it started them to praise, and they were even praising loudly with a great shout. You know what that tells me? That's all right if you even want to shout from time to time. It's okay to praise God with a shout. But not only that, I like this. There's a whole nother group in verse 12. And the Bible calls them ancient men. They're the older ones of the crowd. The Levites and the ones that were there when the first temple was still standing. All right? They were there when people worshiped and came to the first temple. They were there. Some of them might have even seen it burn and seen it be destroyed and seen it come to nothing. But now, the foundation's laid. You know where they laid the foundation? Right exactly where the old temple was. They built it right from there. And can you imagine? They start to see it. They start to see the evidence of building. And then the memories from before started to flood their mind. And it said they started to weep. But they started to weep loudly. In fact, the last verse tells us it was so loud that the ones that were shouting loudly were just as loud as the ones that were weeping loudly. And I thought about that. We worship different ways. And in fact, I don't know about you, but I've come in here. And it's good to be back in here. It feels good. And some will shout. And some will weep and everything in between. But aren't you glad that God is good? You know, we've only been gone, I counted it on the calendar, for 11 weeks. It's only been 11 weeks. They had been gone. It had been about 50 years since that temple was standing. And finally they're starting to see the evidence. And they're starting to weep and shout for joy. And that's what we need to do for the Lord. God, you're good. Every time we can see something visible coming from the work of God, we should praise him and thank him for it. Whether you shout or weep, it doesn't matter. But we need to give thanks to the Lord. But you know what else? And I'm wrapping up. Even in all this praise, even in all this worship, even in all of this excitement, there was more work to do. Right?
Yeah.
They only laid the foundation. In fact, I think it's the next chapter. Opposition starts. You know why? When we start to praise and shout and do all of those things, do you realize the devil can hear that? And I believe they can hear that as well, those in the surrounding areas. Because what? Look at the very last verse. Look at the very last part. And the noise was heard afar off. People knew something was going on in Jerusalem. Oh, I pray we get to that point again. Where God, he has always blessed us, but I want us to get to the point where we are unified, where we worship correctly, each and every one of us, and worship in spirit and in truth, and in each and every one of us, we get to work, and we work by faith, and then when we start to see some evidence, we shout, and we praise God, and we weep, and we thank him for it, but then also remember that there's more work to do, and we continue, and say, you know what? The enemy will come, the enemy will get angry.
I'm here to tell you, one of your lost loved ones gets saved. One of your lost co-workers gets saved. The devil is mad about that. You know what else the devil's mad about? When a Christian person says, you know what? I'm just going to step out in faith and do what God told me to do today. The devil gets mad about that. But you let him hear us praise. You let him hear us worship in his house. You let us hear a worship house outside of the Walmart and you make people wonder about it. You make that happen. Because you know what, devil? There is nothing you can do to stop the church. There's nothing you can do to stop Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do to stop the truth of the Word of God. So I don't know about you, church. I'm ready to buckle in. I know we've got more work to do. I don't know if we have one more day of work to do and the Lord comes back. We've got a whole rest of our lifetime of work to do. But one way or another, God is good. God will be there. God will help us. His Holy Spirit will guide us. He will give us the grace and strength we need. His mercies are new every day. And everything we need, God will give us. And in fact, I told him this morning in Sunday school, David said, when the prophet came to him, he said, I've given you all these things. And God said, I would have even given you more if you needed it.
Amen.
We can do this, church. We can do this. It's rough, I know. It's confusing, I know. It's different, I know. But we can still do this. Our mission has not changed, by the way. Do you realize this entire world can change and our mission does not? In fact, this United States as we know it could be gone and it could be a whole nother country. Whether it could happen or not, I don't know. But even if it did in our lifetime, that doesn't change our mission. Right? It doesn't matter. The lost will be the lost. And our job is to tell them about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Amen. All right. We're going to stand. We're going to open up the altar. We're going to get a song.